We are back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and segment number three on the way next. Standing by here on the telephone is Jamie Morris Hardiman. She's the executive director of Thrive of the Flint Hills. And Jamie, good to talk to you again.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So glad that we could squeeze you in here today, because I know that there's a lot going on, especially during the holidays, I would imagine, for Thrive and everything that you guys do here all throughout the year, and it probably culminates here at the holidays.
It really does. We are very lucky that there are community members who like to help with our Thrive families this time of year. And so we do a gift drive for our Thrive families that involves different things than you would think. So things like toilet paper and paper towels and cleaning supplies and household items that they need. And so we're happy to be able to help our families this time of year to help allay some expenses by buying some necessary items for them.
That's nice. And that's a lot of stuff that, you know, last year was in short supply. So
it's not... No kidding.
And now, you know, that's kind of gone away a little bit here, although there is still some shortages. Can people donate to that if they want to?
They sure could if they wanted to. That would be great. My email is director.thriveflinthills@gmail.com. And they are welcome to email me and reach out, and we would love for them to do that.
All right. As far as membership in Thrive right now, how is that sitting for you?
It's good. We have eight families that we're working with right now. So we have some capacity to add, and we're hoping to add some new families in January, which means that we need more allies. So allies are our community volunteers who commit to two Tuesday nights a month, about 5:30 to 8 o'clock. We have dinner first, and then the allies are paired up with one of our participants on a team, and their job is to help those participants reach their goals. And a big piece of that is to be a cheerleader and a listener. So, you know, as an ally, I spend a lot of time just listening to what's going on with my participants' life. But then I also am there to cheer them as they make progress towards their goals, or to help them make connections in the community. It's really a great way to give back. And anybody can do this. Anybody can be an ally.
Yeah. And, you know, to just knowing you the way I know you kind of through working here at the radio station, you have a real bubbly personality, and that seems like fits you very, very well here, and probably drives some of your passion here for this organization.
It certainly does. I mean, we've been able to see significant change in the families that we've worked with, and, you know, the reason I went to help start Thrive in the first place was that I wanted to really work on strengthening families. You know, I'd spent at that point 17 years at CASA watching families who were in crisis, and I wanted to see if we could help families become stronger so they didn't ever end up with their kids in the foster care system. And we've really seen success through our program, and it makes it worth all the effort that it takes to run it.
I can imagine. And, you know, you hate to see people struggle, especially this time of year, but really any time of the year, to be honest. And it's a lot more things compound that when you have kids involved.
That's for sure. You know, and it can get really overwhelming at times. I feel very overwhelmed by the need in our world. But we do our little part to try and improve the lives of those people involved with our program. And so I think that's all we can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Thrive does good work here, and there's a lot of charities like Thrive here in the community that help as well. And one of them, and you've already kind of mentioned a little bit, you've been connected with, is CASA. And I can't stress how important CASA volunteers are to the community. It's tough work, but I know there's always a need.
It is. So this is my 23rd year as a CASA volunteer. It is by far the best volunteer work I have ever done or will ever do in my life. I have worked with multiple children, all of whom I'm still in contact with. Some of them are in their 30s now. And, you know, it amazes me how much just being a volunteer who shows up once a week to hang out with a kid impacts their life.
Yeah, and is it like being a mentor, or how would you describe it?
It is. It has multiple components. So one piece of it is being a mentor for that child. My favorite part of being a CASA is getting to spend time every week with my CASA kids. And you know, I like science. That's what my background is. And so I tend to take science activities for us to do together. And we hang out and they talk and I listen. And it's a unique relationship. But besides that, our CASA volunteers are also advocating for those kids in the court system and advocating for their needs at school and mental health services. So the advocacy piece of it is also a really important part of what we do to make sure that those kids don't fall through the cracks and that they get the services that they need.
Yeah, so important there. And, you know, I've often thought about, you know, if I was going to do a volunteer opportunity, this would be one that I'd like to, but I just don't know. It seems like, because you're seeing sometimes families at their absolute worst in some cases, and that can be a challenge. It's not for everybody.
It's not, because it is an emotionally difficult volunteer position. So I will say the questions that I tend to get most frequently are time commitment. So most of our volunteers spend somewhere between 6 and 10 hours a month, and almost all of that's on your own schedule. So I will say that it's something that you can do in not a huge amount of time, but consistency is important. You know, the kids that we're working with have had so many promises broken to them in their lives that if you say, I'm coming to see you every Thursday, then I don't care what's happening in your life, you're going to go on Thursday and see those kids. So that consistency piece is important. I've had a lot of people say, I travel or, you know, I want to go on vacation and I don't know how I do that as a CASA. We can pair you up with someone. For most of my cases, I shared a case with someone else, and we were co-CASAs, and that's a great way to be able to ensure that consistency and have a person that's with you as you're out there working with those kids. So that is an option, and we've had people who have co-CASAed with their spouse, and we've had people who have with their friends, and so it's a great opportunity to volunteer with someone. Then the other question I get is, how can you work with parents who treat their kids poorly? And, you know, almost every case that we have some real consistent factors, one of which is the parents did not grow up in a home where they were parented well, and so they have no idea how to be parents. And they also oftentimes lack a support system. And so the people that we're working with are not bad people. They're just people who don't know how to be parents and don't have the support they need to be effective as parents. So I think when we approach it from a lens of curiosity about the parent's life rather than judgment, it helps to allay some of those fears about working with people who may have been abusive toward their children.
Yeah, that's I can see how that would be the case here, leaving the judgment at the door and just kind of going and
right.
Doing what's best for the kid. And there's several trainings coming up here, it sounds like, in the new year, starting in January. And I imagine a lot of this will be addressed in that.
Yes. So training is extensive. So we do 8 weeks for 3 hours on Monday night, starting on January 24th. And the training covers everything from how does the court system work to how do you advocate for families where there's been substance abuse or domestic violence, to what do you do with the kids when you spend time with them, to educational advocacy. You know, we cover all of those pieces. And then the good thing about CASA is you're not out there by yourself. You're assigned a staff supervisor who is there to be supportive of you throughout the entire process. So it's not that we train you, you go through this initial training and we say, okay, good luck. You have a supervisor who is your point of contact at the agency to help you through the process. So I do feel like it's a very well-supported volunteer position.
Okay, very good. And, you know, we always talk about the need. The need's always going to be there. I imagine the way the courts are right now, and you've probably seen this too, the court cases are backed up like crazy, and I think COVID only made that worse. So,
oh, yeah, of course it did. So it's interesting, you know, this year the county attorney's office in Riley County has filed around 100 child need of care cases. So that's 100 kids who've come into the court system this year because of abuse and neglect, and that's not uncommon. You know, at any given time, there are about 150 kids involved in the court system in Riley County because of abuse and neglect. And so the need is great. And we want every one of those kids to have a CASA volunteer. In the ideal world, that's how it is. So we almost always have a waiting list of kids who are hoping to find a volunteer, which means we need people to step up and volunteer.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, where do you go to sign up to do this?
So our website is sunflowercasa.org, and there's a volunteer tab on there. And if you go to that tab, there's an information form to fill out that you'd like more information. And I am the one who answers those queries. So if people have questions about being a CASA, I'm certainly happy to talk with them about that and help understand what it is to be a volunteer and what the commitment really is.
All right. Very good. Well, it's such an important thing here, and I'm so glad we got a chance to highlight it. Is there anything else going on at Thrive or Sunflower CASA you want to make sure to get out to the public this morning?
Yeah, for Thrive, again, since we're starting a new class of participants in January, we are looking for allies. So if people would like to volunteer for that position, they can shoot me an email, again, director.thriveflynthills@gmail.com. And we would love to talk to them more about what it is to be an ally and what the commitment is, because that's something, again, that we need more people who would like to spend time encouraging someone to make a difference in their life.
All right, very good. Well, Jamie, it's always good to talk to you, and keep advocating for those in need here. We appreciate all the work that you do, and look forward
Thank
to talking
you.
To you on the school board here soon.
Yeah, of course. That'll be exciting.
All right. Well, have a good weekend and a good holiday as well.
Thanks. You too, Brandon. I appreciate it.
All right. That's Jamie Morris-Hardiman here on In Focus. Stay tuned. We're going to hear from the Flint Hills Breadbasket, Mary Beth Kiefer, up next on KMAN.